much for this privilege of drawing closer to you. Lord, thank you so much for your presence with us here and in us by your Spirit, teaching us and guiding us into all truth. Lord, thank you so much that you never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, it's you we want to listen to, oh God. I pray that we may take these lessons to heart, Lord. I pray that we may allow you, as you teach us, to transform us into your likeness, oh Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John chapter 14, we'll pick up from verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Today we look at the promises that Jesus leaves us with. The promises that he leaves his closest followers with as he prepares to go to the cross and to ascend and return to the Father. We saw last week that he promised that he would pick them. He was going to prepare them a place and was going to come back for them. He assured them that they should not allow their hearts to be troubled around the world. He was with them. And now, he is the man who has been guiding them. He's been teaching them. He has been answering all their questions. And this man was living. How are they going to survive? Where are they going to get the strength? Where are they going to get the wisdom? Where are they going to get all the abilities they needed for the task ahead? And that's what Jesus does. Especially promising them that he wasn't going to leave them alone. He was going to leave them with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, to help them through every step. I believe these men are now understanding that Jesus only has a day with them. He's going to the cross. And they must have been wondering, what are we going to do? What are we going to say to the people? How are we going to manage all this? And he tells them, most assuredly I say to you, I assure you, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. You are going to do greater things. You're going to cover more geographical areas around the world. You're going to go places that have not gone. You're going to reach out to people that have not been able to reach out to. And that is the greater works that they're going to do. Now, we can easily presume that they were going to do those works by their own strength. Right? There are a lot of people who outside Jesus Christ think they can do everything, because here the Bible says we just have to believe in him and we will do greater works. Let me ask you this. The first bit of the sentence is what? He who believes in me. Not he who believes in their own strength and ability. He who believes in me. And we know that it was Jesus Christ who was going to function through these men. It wasn't just their wisdom, not just their abilities, not just getting up and going on mission. It was Jesus Christ himself who was going to stir them up and take them wherever the good news hadn't reached. And the greater works that these men did covered the whole world in just a few decades. The gospel reached out to the known world in probably just about 30 years. Europe was covered, Asia was covered, the continent of Africa was covered with the gospel. In the next chapter, going to St. John 15, verse 5, he told them, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing, completely nothing. Let us not once ever believe that we can just go out on our own and do greater things, because, well, we're going to do greater works. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot do anything. We have to believe in him and stay with him. God was going to work through them, and God chooses to work through us. All we have to do is avail ourselves to be used of him. There are so many people who need to be reached. There is so much work that needs to be done. And God chooses to use each one of us. All we have to do is say, Lord, use me. I'm available. Give me your power, God. Give me your wisdom. Give me your strength. Give me your courage. I'm ready to go. God promises he would use them to cover more area, to reach out to more people, to do more. And we see that all through the book of Acts and through church history. These men, actually empowered by Jesus Christ, did a lot until the gospel reached each one of us. Are you willing and available for God to use? Or are you praying, God, you use somebody else, not me. I just want to be comfortable where I am. Lord, I'm fearful. I'm afraid. Lord, it's too hard out there. I just want to stay here. Little did these men know that the area they're going to cover, the people they're going to reach out to, and the ministry that they're going to do would accomplish the accomplishments we see through the book of Acts and through church history. It all begins with a willingness to be used of God. And I pray that each one of us, each one of you, is saying to the Lord, Lord, I am available and willing to do anything that you want to do through me. I know that I'm not going to do it in my own strength, not in my own wisdom, not with my own abilities. It's you, thankfully, who wants to empower me to do it. So, Lord, use me. The second promise he gives them was that he was going to give them anything they asked for, right? Again, so many people misunderstand and presume that, God, if I just ask you for sweets and soda every day, you'll give them to me. So, God, give me sweets and soda every day. Because you said I could ask anything and you will grant me. God, just give me a comfortable life. Right, just make me healthy all through the year. I don't want to have any problems. And we hear that all around us. If we really have faith, then everything's going to be fine. Now, we know the story that these men lived out. What were they going to ask for? Were they going to ask for, God, just make our life comfortable? And they actually tried. All right? After the death of Jesus Christ, they wanted to be really safe. So they locked themselves up in a room with no plan to get out whatsoever. It's too dangerous out there. Our hopes are killed. Our Lord is on the cross. He's buried. Let's just lock ourselves up in a room. One of them gave up and said, you know what? I'm going back fishing. I'm going to do what I know how to do best. I'm going to go fishing. I've given up ministry. It's too hard. And Jesus tells them, all right, what will you be needing when I'm not here? Whatever you ask for, I will grant you. These were men who had fully given themselves to Jesus Christ. They weren't just looking for a comfortable life. They weren't just looking for their daily needs. They were looking at everything far beyond themselves. They were looking at the kingdom of God. They were looking at the good news that everybody needed to hear. And you know what they're going to ask for? They're going to ask for wisdom. They're going to ask for strength. In the book of Acts, we see them asking for courage. When the rulers of the day stopped them from preaching the name of Jesus Christ, they asked God, help us. They wanted courage. They're going to ask for every ability that was required for them to get out and reach out to as many people as possible. They weren't just going to ask for, Lord, give us food. They cared more about others' spiritual needs than their own. And even when we see them not asking for anything just for themselves, God provided for them everything they needed to sustain them and to empower them wherever they would go. They needed comfort, and they would ask God to comfort them. When Paul, in many places, asked people to pray for him, he wasn't asking for people to pray for him for anything else but that the spread of the gospel would be unhindered. That the word would spread swiftly. God, help us distribute your word as quick as possible to everybody who needs to hear it. In James chapter 4, verse 3, we are told that we ask and do not receive because we ask amiss, that we may spend it on our own pleasures. And often, we're asking for things that we should not be asking for. We're asking for things just to satisfy us. We're asking for personal safety. I don't want to get out there and do things for God because it's too dangerous. But I don't want to fall sick. I feel so bad when I'm sick. Regardless of the troubles ahead, all they would ask that God would sustain them. Majority of our prayer is asking God for stuff for ourselves. Do you know that? Look at your prayer list today. All you do, more than 50%, is asking God for self-gratification. And no wonder God says no quite often. I will not give you that. Are you asking for something that is going to help you be effective for kingdom duty? Or are you going to ask for things that just make you comfortable here? Are you wholly given to the things of God? Just like these men. Are you fully given and open to anything that he would ask you to do? Anything. Think about Philip when God asked him to go so far away to preach to one man. What do you think Philip was asking for? Lord, just get me there. Right? God took him there. And God flew him back. After the mission, he just vanished. And he ended up somewhere else. He wasn't thinking, oh Lord, that is too hard. You know, just keep me here. Send somebody else. God, if you want me to go that far, then you have to fly me there. And there are no planes in our day. You really have to physically carry me off and take me there. And we see that everything they asked for, God granted. Because, first of all, they were fully given to God's mission. They needed provision. Sometimes they had to work for themselves to get their own transportation and livelihood, made their livelihood. Sometimes God used so many different ways to provide for them. They needed wisdom. Their learning was informal. Now imagine storing all this in your brain. They weren't there with a pen and paper taking notes like we do today. They needed God to remind them of the things that they had learned. And we see this in the epistles. How on earth were these men able to write all that down that literally matched with the gospels? God would help them remember. God would give them wisdom. When we're praying, let's remember to ask with the intention of not just ourselves, much as we can pray for our needs and God will meet them, but we should pray for things far beyond just what we need. We should ask God to give us resources, whether the spiritual resources, emotional resources, physical resources, for a far more important cause, for kingdom glory, for people to be reached out to, for people to be encouraged and strengthened, for people to be taught, for the word of God to sink deep in people's hearts, because that's what this world needs the most. And because they were fully given to God, because they were fully committed to God's work, God was going to give them everything they were going to ask for, because those things were going to be the ones they use for the extension of God's kingdom. In prison, Peter was stuck there and the church was praying, Lord, let Peter get out so he can go out and preach again. And those prison doors were open. It wasn't God, get Peter out, and after he gets out, we'll make sure he doesn't go preach again because it's dangerous. If you ask anything in his will, for his glory, for the extension of his kingdom, God will grant it. And he says in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're going to see that. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And we can skip down to verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, by the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. We see the Trinity at work. God in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son. The Son is going to die on the cross. The Son is going to send the Holy Spirit. In a simple sentence, God wasn't going anywhere. He was still around and was going to be with them all through their journeys. Their hearts, obviously, were troubled because God, okay, you're going. You mean you're going to leave us alone? And Jesus tells them, no, you're not going to be alone. The third person is coming. The Holy Spirit is coming. And is going to help you. Another helper, another of the same kind. God in the person of the Holy Spirit is going to come. And he says he's going to help with leading and guidance. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. And he's going to remind you of the things that I've taught you. In creation, we see God the Father speak. The Son is active creating. And the Spirit hovering. At the baptism, the Father speaks. This is my beloved Son. The Son is down there. The Spirit comes in form of a dove. We see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit working in perfect unity for you and I. Can you imagine? God is busy. If it means sending the Son, he does that. If it means sending us the Holy Spirit, he does that just to be with us and to take us home with him. Our God is amazing, isn't he? There is nothing that he cannot do just to win you and me. Christians, we are never alone. The moment we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives, he gives us his Spirit to help us through this journey. He teaches us. That's what he's doing right now. And sometimes we're just by ourselves alone and we open up the Bible and maybe it's a verse that we've had a difficult time understanding for years, but eventually God himself, through his Spirit, teaches us. This world is confusing. Almost every stage in life is a wilderness. What do I do? Which direction do I take? Which man should I marry? Which lady should I marry? Which house should I move to? Which country should I go to? What approach should I use in this particular situation? And God says, I am going to guide you. I am going to guide your feet. I'm going to guide your thinking. I am going to guide your actions. And we need God's guidance every day. These men needed God's guidance every day. And God said, yeah, I'm going to guide you. When life gets confusing, when we don't see things very clearly, when our eyes are foggy, when our minds are clouded, just ask God to guide. He will guide. He surely does, because He lives in us. We want to learn. We want to learn His word. We want to be committed to learning His word. God Himself teaches us. Now think about it. Jesus Himself has been teaching them. He sits them down and He teaches them. This is what it means in God's kingdom. This is what it means. Love. Kindness. Go out and help people. If you go to a place you're not welcome, it's okay. Go to another. Tell the people I love them. Tell the people I'm coming for them soon. Tell the people to repent. And they have learned these things. And Jesus says that is not going to stop. The third person, the Holy Spirit, is coming and is going to teach you. We will never get to a place where we know everything. Never will we be full of the Bible that we figure out everything. We have answers to all questions. We have to constantly be learning from God. And sometimes we go through a passage and we learn something. The next time we go through it, we learn two more things. And we're wondering, how come I didn't see that at the beginning? God helps us understand them. He was going to remind them of all the lessons He had taught them. Why were they going to need a reminder, a constant reminder? They weren't taking notes, remember? They didn't have papers, they didn't have books. All they had was information in their heads. And God says, don't worry. If you forget some things, because I know you're forgetful, you're human, I am going to remind you. Sometimes we are in a situation and we have forgotten everything we know, right? Somebody needs help and you're thinking, all right, where is that verse? What does even that verse say about this situation? And you're scratching heads and immediately God reminds you, this is the verse and this is the message that I want you to remember and pass on to that person or to use in that situation where it's needed. And tell you what, when we forget, God never forgets. God is faithful to remind us. In Acts chapter 2, we see the Spirit descending upon these men on Pentecost. And we see them receiving power for ministry. And we see them functioning like they knew everything. Peter, who had been fearful, who had denied Jesus Christ 3 times, is now the one preaching. They were speaking in different languages. They were speaking Chinese and Luganda and English. And everybody's wondering, those men are not from those places. How come they know those languages? The Spirit enabled them. From hiding, now they were going to be scattered. Even in persecution, they were fearless. That was the power and the help and the guidance and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit reminding them of the things that they had learned from the very beginning. Thank God that He Himself, the Holy Spirit, helps us remember the things that we learned. Maybe you've forgotten the lesson that we learned in John chapter 1. Do you remember? Can we do an exam and see how much you've learned so far? Maybe by the end of John, I can hand out an exam, put away all your Bibles, see if you can pass the book of John. God will remind you the answers, right? He will remind you what you learned in chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4 and all through to the very end. In Acts chapter 2, in the day of Pentecost, when Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This promise came to pass, and God is here with us. God lives in you. God lives in each one who believes in. And we have every resource we need for this life. Everything we need for life here is given to us by His Spirit. He says then, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in verse 18, as he promised them would not leave them alone, he said, a little while longer, in verse 19, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will also live. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in the verses that we've read, God will reveal himself to those who love him. These men love Jesus Christ, and that's why Jesus Christ is revealing these things to them. That's why Jesus is teaching them. That's why Jesus makes all these promises to them. They were fully in love with God. Some people want all these benefits. They don't want God. And it does not work. And sometimes even we ourselves want these benefits with very little commitment to God. We want teaching, we want guidance, we want God to remind us, but we're not committed to learning, right? We're not committed to reading the Bible. We're not committed to obeying Him. But God, bless us. And God said, do you want me to bless you? Do you love me? Do you really want me to bless you? Are you committed to me? And God says, I would love to. I love you. I love everybody, but not everybody wants me. And I cannot force myself on them. In fact, Judas in verse 22 asks, not Iscariot, he said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How come you're teaching us and helping us and making all these promises to us? And Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make a home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Are you fully given to the Lord? If it's a yes, you know what God promises? I'm going to show you that I love you. Now, let's not think that God doesn't love everybody, only loves Christians, no. But those who really benefit, enjoy all the abundance of heaven are those who are committed to God. Everybody just enjoys just a little bit. But in God's love, we obey His commandments, we listen to His teaching, we are committed to Him, we sit under the guidance of His Spirit, we allow Him to empower us, we will experience the fullness of His love. And we see this in these men. In some places, they were beaten, right? God just filled them with comfort and they were able to go back and preach and get beaten again. In some places, they were rejected. Some of us, we get rejected once, we're done, right? I talked to a couple of guys. I asked them, why are you still single? Well, that girl rejected me. I said, why didn't you try another? I said, I'm done. You know, girls complicated. They were going to face difficult situations and they weren't going to give up. And when God is in us, we're not going to give up, are we? We fail today, we get up and we have another day tomorrow. This troubled day, we fall sick, we are grounded. God gets us up and then we keep going. You want to enjoy the fullness of God's love? Do you really want God? Do you want God to reveal himself to you? Do you want to see the face of God? Do you want to see God at work? Then obey his commands. Be committed to him. Love him. Those who don't want to hear his word will hardly see his face. Much as they still enjoy his general love, God loves everyone. But we're going to see that these men are going to be different. All right? Completely unique. Unstoppable. When their persecutors were looking for their educational history, how come these men are so wise? They realize they're just fishermen and tax collectors and up for no good, except that they had been with Jesus Christ. That makes a difference. They finally realize these men are just like their master. And I pray that we will all be committed to obeying what God tells us to do. And we will enjoy the fullness of his promises, the fullness of his love, the fullness of his teaching, the fullness of his power, his guidance. Christians, let's commit to God. That's all we have to do. He will do the rest. He promises to love and fully love those who love him. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, this very author, he says, we love him because he first loved us. Why do we have to love him? Why do we have to obey him? Why do we have to listen to him? Why do we have to listen to his teaching? Because he first loved us. He came down and demonstrated that he loved each one of us so deeply. So in response, we say, God, we love you. In verses 27 to 31, as we finish, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer walk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. He leaves them with peace. If you grew up in the Catholic Church, they will read this verse and tell everybody, show your brother a sign of peace. Then you'll shake hands. Anybody grew up in the Catholic Church? My peace I give you, then share the sign of peace. Is the sign of peace a handshake? It's more than a handshake. There's going to be war. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be anxiety. There's going to be worry. There are going to be so many problems. There's even going to be death. There's going to be sickness. And Jesus says, amidst all that, I am giving you peace. You're going to be at rest. Why do you think these men were unstoppable? They beat them today, they are back preaching tomorrow to the very same audience and place in the temple. They don't have anything, but they don't worry. They have so much work to do, and it seems like they're doing it so easily. What was happening? They were at peace. God gave them the ability to go through all those storms unbothered. Yes, the storms would weigh them down. They would obviously get tired. In some places, fearful. But amidst all that, they had so much peace. Where was that peace coming from? Jesus says, I leave you at peace. There is war out there. Somebody said, each one of us in this room, for example, is either on one side or the other side of conflict, or in the middle, trying to resolve it. All right? There is conflict all around us. We're either the one causing the conflict, or the victim of the conflict, or trying to mediate to bring peace in the conflict. Jesus says, amidst conflict, I'm going to give you peace. You're going to sleep when everybody else is awake and fearful. Remember, some were locked up in prison. Who can sleep in prison peacefully? And it took an angel to hit Paul so hard to wake up. In prison, that is peace. Nobody wants to go to prison, and when they end up there, all they want to do is get out. And while they're there, never comfortable, hardly sleeping, it's going to give them tranquility. It's going to give them a peace that the world cannot understand. And that's what we have in Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22, God said, there's no peace for the wicked. Peace is only for the righteous. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. The one interesting thing that all these promises have is we have to receive them. All right? We can receive everything and reject peace. Try to figure out everything on our own. And when Paul was writing the Colossians, he tells them, let the peace of God, allow that peace to come in your heart. And let that peace rule. Let that peace stay with you. There are people who are going to try to conflict with you. There are people who are going to try to trouble you. Circumstances are trying to get you stressed and sleepless. Everything's going to happen to cause you to worry and be anxious. Let God's peace rule in our hearts, Christians. We don't have to show on our face that we have troubles. Yes, we have them, but the peace of God overrules all those troubles. One Christian said, when I rest beneath the Almighty's shade, my griefs expire, my troubles cease. He says, you, Lord, on whom my soul is stayed, will keep me still in perfect peace. There are griefs, yes. There is heat, yes. There are troubles, yes. But God gives us peace to just quiet the situation. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in trouble. So much trouble. But I was able to sleep. And maybe some of you have such testimonies, and maybe all of us. But we need to allow that peace in our hearts. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, you know this verse? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I like that. The Bible uses two words, perfect peace. Wow. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And if he lives in us, don't worry about the chaos all around. He will keep us in perfect peace. Because what? Our mind is focused on him because we trust in him. He does not promise a conflict-free life. He does not promise a trouble-free life. He does not promise a sickness-free life. But he said, through everything you go, I will give you peace. It will be fine with you. Countless promises. Let's go back from the beginning. He promises that he will use us to accomplish more. He promises that he will give us everything we ask for in his will, for his purposes. If the request is wrong, God obviously will say no. If the timing is wrong, God will say wait. But if the request is right, he will say yes, you can have it. His love wants the best for us. His wisdom knows the best for us. And His power grants us the best that He has for us. He promises them the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit living with us today. He guides us. He teaches us. When we forget, we don't fail the exam, He reminds us. He promises to love them, to fully love them, and to manifest Himself to them, to explain Himself to them, and He does that. He does that to each one of us who is committed to Him. He promises them peace. And we're going to see that these are going to be very peaceful men. And they're going to live peaceful lives. Reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Let's read that again. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Amen. Let's stand and pray. All these promises that God makes to us are available for us to receive. Right? Not to claim. Do you claim promises? Maybe in our world, but we just receive them. Right? God says, here it is. Can you have it? And all we have to do is say yes. And as we pray, let all these promises sink in our hearts, Christians. Let's just say, God, we receive Your power. We receive Your wisdom. We receive Your teaching. We receive Your love. We receive Your sufficiency. We receive Your peace. We receive Your provision. We receive Your help and guidance. Lord, thank You so much for all that You give us, Lord. Thank You so much for loving us so much that You do everything for each one of us. Lord, thank You so much for the great things that You want to accomplish through each one of us. And Lord, yes, we are willing. Please use us. Thank You so much for opening the door to give us everything we want. And Lord, when we commit ourselves to You, we are wholly given to You. There's nothing You hold back from us, Lord. The one enemy we have to fight is ourselves. And often we ask for the wrong things, for the wrong reasons. But thank You so much for Your provision. Thank You for Your wisdom. Thank You for Your strength and courage. Thank You so much for everything that You grant us, Your children. Thank You for Your love, Lord. And our love for You is really a response to Your love for us. You love us so much, and we cannot thank You enough. Thank You so much for revealing Yourself to us, for showing Your face to us, for showing Your kindness and mercy and goodness to us, Lord. Jesus, we want to be those who obey Your commands, who are fully committed to listen and learn from You. Lord, thank You so much for the peace. There's so much conflict around us, oh God. There's so much conflict even in us. Often our heads are spinning, our hearts are troubled. But God, we just want to receive Your peace. May You rain down Your peace upon us. And thank You so much that all the promises You make are available for us to receive. And we receive all of them. In Jesus' name.